But it is time to win. God's never desired that His people go around with a defeated attitude. If anybody should have joy, we should. If anybody should have praise in their heart, we should. If anybody should bite their tongue to keep from complaining, we should. I think we got a lot to be thankful for. And if we took every day, all day long, to praise the Lord, I mean, literally, we should with our life anyhow, but I'm talking about that's all we did, it wouldn't be enough, would it? And I want to say to you today that with God's help, I'm a winner and I'm not a loser. Amen. With God's help, you are a winner and not a loser. I want to read just a few illustrations again today, and all the sources say unknown, so I can't give credit to anybody. It says, a winner says, I'm good, but not as good as I ought to be. A loser said, I'm not as bad as a lot of other people. A winner listens. A loser just waits until it's his turn to talk. A winner respects those who are superior to him and tries to learn from them. A loser resents those who are superior to him and tries to find clinks in their armor. Dear Lord. A winner complains. A loser explains away. A winner feels responsible for more than his job. A loser says, I only work here. A winner says, there ought to be a better way to do it. A loser says, that's the way it's always been done here. A winner paces himself. A loser has only two speeds, hysterical and lethargic. I'm a winner. Anybody else? I'm a winner and not a loser. And it's all because of Christ. Can't attribute any success in life to anyone but my relationship with Him. So when you pray and you thank God for His blessings, thank Him for being Jehovah Jireh. And He's the one that's provided everything that you and I need that brings success in any way to our lives. Don't take the credit. Give Him the credit. Because He receives the glory. Come on. Can you say amen to that today? That's the first message. It's time to win. Going to Joshua chapter 14, reading the same scripture from last week. Will you stand in honor of the word, please? Chapter 14, and this week we're going with the NIV. And we're verses 6 of Joshua chapter 14. It says, now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. So he's saying, Joshua, you remember. I was 40 years old when Joshua, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. Keep the word convictions in your mind. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt. Their negative words, their negative report, their criticisms caused the people to be afraid. I don't want to cause somebody else not to have faith or to lose confidence in people that are leading them. Do you? So, I, however, Caleb said, I followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, He has kept me alive for these 45 years since the time He said to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So as they were in the wilderness all those years, Caleb held the promise in his heart. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill or this mountain that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were larger and fortified. But God, say but God with me. Amen. But God, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as He said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel. How? Wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be Kiriath Arba after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. God, we thank you now. We thank you now for your word. Don't you thank him for his word? Hallelujah. We thank you for the word in Joshua. And we also thank you for 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 this morning. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Father, thank you for your faithfulness now. Thank you for your presence in this room. Thank you for the word that's already anointed and inspired. Thank you for your anointing upon me and upon our ears and hearts to receive. And God, as we hold the prayer needs in our hand today, we thank you for being with Francis Moore. After 3 surgeries in the past few days, major surgeries, God, we thank you that your hand is upon her. Continue to direct those doctors in ICU. And we thank you for restoring health to her in the name of Jesus today. And God, so many in our congregation are still sick. Would you just extend your hand? And Lord, so many on this prayer sheet that we look at every week, cancers, diseases, sickness, depression, we thank you for healing and deliverances in the name of Jesus. And may your word accomplish in us what you desire. And everybody said, amen and amen. You can be seated. Today we continue to climb the mountain of faith. Now, I want to ask you a question as we begin. Has anyone ever found it difficult, in situations sometimes difficult to believe? You sure make me feel better. I said we continue to climb the mountain of faith. Have you ever tried to climb a mountain? I have. Matter of fact, I lived in the Blue Ridge Mountains. I grew up there playing on the hillsides, climbing some of the small mountains all the way to the ridge. I got plenty of exercise on those hills and mountains. But there was one mountain that was always difficult to climb, and you may have heard of it. It was on the Blue Ridge Parkway, and it's the Devil's Courthouse. Anybody ever heard of the Devil's Courthouse? Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever climbed it? Dear Lord, the Devil's Courthouse rises above some of the most spectacular views in the Blue Ridge Mountains. From the top of the Devil's Courthouse, it's 5,720 feet. That's high. You can see parts of Georgia, South Carolina, and Tennessee while you stand at the Devil's Courthouse. It was named superstitiously as the Devil's Courthouse. It's a Cherokee legend that said at one time there was a cave inside that the devil would go in and they'd dance. And then on top of the Devil's Courthouse, it said that he used to hold court. But that's not what I'm going to address today. I want you to know that that mountain was hard to climb. To climb the mountain, it was very difficult. Probably 1/3 of the way, you'd have to sit down and rest. And my wife would say, amen, because we've done it a few times. And again, about halfway up the Devil's Courthouse, halfway up that mountain, and maybe a third time after that, you'd have to sit down again. I mean, that'd be a good trip to take these youth. If you want them to sleep good at night, take them and let them climb that mountain. So several times you'd have to stop and rest. The mountain was steep. It took every ounce of strength and breath to reach the top. Looking from the bottom, it was beautiful. From the top, you looked around and it was majestic. God's creation is awesome. Now, though there were paths cleared for you, there were boulders, there was gravel, and on the side, fallen trees, and sometimes trees that had fallen against the path. So arriving at the top of the Devil's Courthouse, I think you can see it on the screen, when you arrived there, that was a major accomplishment, as well as a relief. I remember saying, thank God, I'll never do this again. And then I did it again later. So the next time you're in the mountains, visit the devil's courthouse, not to give the devil any glory. Now, there is a path that's been laid out for us that leads to the place of experiencing the promises of God. Matter of fact, on the day you asked Christ into your life, when you believed and did that, you received a promise. Sins forgiven. Name written in heaven. Relationship with God. And you began a walk with Jesus. This is a path of faith that we walk. Amen. The world can't tell you how to live this life or walk this life. It's a life of faith. Our part is to accept the gospel and to follow the Lord and to receive what He has for us all along the way. Salvation, the day we accept Christ, is just the beginning. Can anybody here relate to that this morning? It's just the beginning. Oh God. We need to embrace the promises of God and walk in them. Faith is not about feeling. Faith is about believing and putting your trust in Him. Faith is something we grab hold of and we grow in. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So number one is this. Climbing the mountain of faith means you never quit believing. Now, when the people of Israel, some 45 years earlier, refused to fight and possess Canaan because they were afraid. Matter of fact, let me talk to you about fear. On my wedding day, I was afraid and nervous. Not because, I mean, I had the most beautiful bride in the world. But we stood out beside the door on the outside with the pastor. And outside that door, he kept saying, "Leah, it's not too late to back out. It's not too late to back out. Not too late to change your mind." So by the time the wedding started and she walked down the aisle, I was almost too afraid to turn around and look at her. Now, he's a pastor and he made me afraid. People will try to make you afraid, or Satan will use people to make you fear. Well, I did marry her, and that's been almost 49 years ago. And I love her more now than I did then. And I think it's the same from the other side. Now, God made a promise to Caleb. Caleb and Joshua were the only ones that believed God. You're going to be in situations sometimes that you think you're the only one believing. And there's nobody there to help you. Amen? Been there. Done that. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 35, "No one from this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to your ancestors." This is God speaking to them through Moses. "Except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, he will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he set his feet on because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly." The whole nation of Israel said, "Nope, you're not going in." If you read on down, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones of that generation to be able to go into the promised land. At age 40, God promised Caleb. He told Caleb, "You will see it." Didn't he? He told Caleb, "You will possess it." And he said, "You followed the Lord wholeheartedly." If you want the power of God working in your life, you got to claim His promises. You've got to see what He says, get it in your spirit, and you've got to be determined to possess it, and you've got to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Now, here's what that verse is saying, I think. You will. It's yours. Josh, Caleb, it's yours. And you will possess it. Caleb knew he could depend on the Word of God. He knew he could depend on the promises. He knew he would live to not only see the promised land, but that he and his children would own part of it. He knew he wouldn't die until after he saw it and possessed it. Now, if God's made you a promise and you're walking with God, don't expect to die any day. Because if He promised it and you're walking with Him, it's going to happen before you die. You keep walking with Him. But Caleb didn't know how long it was going to take or how long he was going to have to wait. I wonder if Caleb spoke with God over the years at different times and said, God, I know you promised and I believe, but is it going to be this year? God, is it going to be this month? Don't you think through those years? I believe you, God, but could it be today? Could it be that he may have prayed, Lord, I'm not getting any younger. How many of you know you're not getting any younger? Anybody want to confess that today? Amen. Confess it or not, you're going to look like me one day. Who said that? I need to pray for somebody. I'm not getting any younger. Hurry up. Have you ever prayed hurry up to God? I have. Dealing with the realities of life is not easy. I don't care how saved you are, how full of the Holy Ghost you are. When life hits, it's hard. Yeah, but I'm saved. So am I. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. I spend time in prayer. I read the Word. And Brother Bracken, it's still been tough. Is there anybody here who will say, I know Jesus, but I'm telling you, Pastor Bracken, my journey has been tough. Stand to your feet real quickly. Has it been tough at times? Come on, let's be honest. Dear Lord, and you thought you were the only one? Look around you today. I want you to turn around and tell somebody, God is faithful and I've trusted Him. Say it, God is faithful and I've trusted Him. You can be seated. Not a lack of faith because life is hard. It's not a lack of faith because you're going through things. Your faith is probably being tested and Satan's trying to defeat you. So dealing with life, with the realities of life, is not easy. It's hard at times. We know God is real, right? And we know faith is real, right? But we're also flesh. We like our comforts, don't we? We like for things to go smooth and well, and we don't like it when problems come up, do we? Doubts, fears, worry, sickness, disappointments, hurt, misunderstandings, and lack of understanding. Sin with its temptation hits us, hits all of us. Anybody been tempted recently? Where's the anointing oil? We're going to walk through and anoint everybody that didn't raise their hand. Pray for you. Dear God, sin with this temptation hits all of us, and the world's thinking is trying to get inside your brain, inside your heart, inside your spirit, inside of us. The world's attitudes and the spirit of rebellion keep bombarding us and trying to overtake us and make us fall. You're not exempt. Is it all right just to tell you the truth today? So I say it again, dealing with the realities of life and the attacks of the enemy and dealing with just the way things are sometimes is very difficult. But God loves us too much to leave us like we are. And if we get hold of His Word, He'll change the circumstances that surround our lives. And He'll do it to bring glory to His name. In Numbers chapter 14, I believe it is, in verse 24, but because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land which he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. The King James says he had another spirit with him. God was with Caleb. Is there anybody here that knows without a doubt that God is with you? See, God was with Caleb because he had faith in God. Caleb followed and served the Lord with his whole heart. All of us get discouraged sometimes. Even as a spirit-filled believer, there's been times I've battled depression. Anybody else out there? I know I'm saved. I know I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I know I'm called to preach and minister the Word. But I have battled depression at times. So, Brother Bracken, where's your faith? My faith got rid of it. Come on. My faith in God. We have to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. there's another spirit with me. There's another spirit upon me. There's another spirit within me. How about you today? Can you say there's another spirit with you? Another spirit upon you. Can you say today there's another spirit in you? And that's the spirit of the living God. And if you can say that this morning, come on, lift your voice and thank him for living inside of you and being your present help in time of trouble. Jesus said he'd never leave us and he'd never forsake us. What a promise. Go all the way over in the New Testament to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. And this is one of our verses in our confession. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I think the King James says, whatsoever overcometh the world. See? And that word whatsoever means that what is when you receive Jesus and you are regenerated. That whatsoever in the King James is when you're changed on the inside. That's what happened to you. That whatsoever is when you are born again and the Holy Spirit makes Jesus real in your life after repenting of your sins. That's the what. Are you with me? That's the whatsoever. Now go back to 1 John 5 and we're going to read verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That believe there means to put your trust in, not just to believe God exists. The devil knows God exists, but he's going to hell. Amen? Everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. That means we're going to love each other. If we don't, it's questionable whether Christ is in your heart or not. This is how we know we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. Matter of fact, if we don't obey, we're not walking with him like we should. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commandments. Do you love me? Do you hear the Lord saying that today? Do you love me? If you love me, then obey me. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Shouldn't it be in our heart to obey him because we love him? And this commandment and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the ones who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In other words, you put your trust in him. It's important to believe. A lot of people believe in God that don't know Jesus. A lot of people believe that Jesus is the Son of God who don't have a relationship with him. They've chosen to live in their sin and take another route instead of walking with Christ. Amen? It's important that we believe. It's important that we obey God. That would have been a good place to say amen. It's important that we obey God. Now you have to know in your knower, down deep down inside, that you're right with God. You can't guess about this thing. Too many cars on the road. Too many people don't know how to drive. I know you know how to drive, but a lot of other people don't. When you know that you're right with God deep down in your knower, anything God asks you to do will not become a burden. When what he's called us to do becomes a burden, one of two things is happening. Either he's wanting to use us somewhere else and we need to move from that position. Or we've got in the flesh and we're trying to do it in our flesh instead of with the help of God. And the joy has gone out of serving. Am I making sense this morning? What God calls you and me to do has never been meant to be a burden. It's a privilege. It's an honor. And when you get tired, you refresh yourself and thank God for the strength and for the energy to keep doing what he's called you to do. Somebody shout me down. I needed to hear that today, if nobody else did. At age 40, as a young man, Caleb received a word of promise from God. For 45 years, he carried God's promise, God's word in his heart. He faced and dealt with the realities of life all those years. Loved ones and friends died in the wilderness. And he had to wait because of the sins of others. And that made his journey not so easy. You really can't blame somebody else for not serving God. Yeah, but you don't know what they said. It doesn't matter what they said. What are you going to say? Amen? When you put your faith to work, you will never quit. I might dance and shout, but my heart's really strong right now. I'm telling you. Read it with me. When you put your faith to work, you will never quit. If you needed to hear that, say amen. Amen. After 45 years, Caleb said, it's my time. I'm not saying you have to wait 45 years to get the promises of God. How many of you are so thankful? Because of the older generation's sin, the younger generation had to wait for them to die in the wilderness. And if you read Scripture, there's Scripture where it talks about there's the ones who don't know right from wrong, who you thought would be conquered, they're the ones, I'm putting it in modern English, that are going to enter into the promised land. How would you like to be a parent or a grandparent who disobeyed God, and God said, listen, you're not going to enjoy the blessings I had laid up for you. It's too late. You missed it. But that little grandbaby of yours is going to walk in the promises of God. Now, I'm glad for the grandbaby, but I sure don't want to miss what God has for me. How about you this morning? Dear God, several times in Scripture the Word says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Faith without works is dead. Isn't that what the New Testament says? Faith that is not put to work is dead faith. If you don't know to do good and do it not, it's sin. Wow. What about Caleb? In Joshua 14, Caleb verse 12 says, he said, give me this mountain the Lord promised to me. God's made some promises over this church, and as Steve said Wednesday night, I'd like to get as many of them as I can in writing and go over them again from some of the tapes we have just to remind ourselves of the promises for this ministry to this community and to the world. Some of them I remember and I'm holding on to. What about Caleb? After 45 years of waiting, number two, Caleb rehearsed the promise of God. Some things you don't keep to yourself, what God tells you, you need to be telling people what God has done. And if He's really spoken to you, you know, God told me He's going to do this. But Brother Bracken, what if I tell and it don't happen? You probably don't need to tell it because you don't believe it. Come on, shout this morning. Joshua 14 and verse 12 is where we're going to. Joshua 14 and 12. Let me just look up there. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard it, Joshua, that the Amalekites were there and their cities were fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as He said, just as God said. Joshua, you were there. You heard. Joshua heard the promise of God. Joshua heard that the inhabitants of Hebron were strong and had fortified cities. Joshua heard the promise and saw, and he also saw the problem. Now, where there's a promise from God, there's usually a problem. Are you hearing me? God gives you a promise, a problem will arise that Satan will use to help try to make you forget the promise. Am I telling you the truth? I'm talking, is it just a talk out of experience today? Lord, I'm so excited. I know what You spoke to me. I'm so excited about what You called me to do. And then somebody comes up and says, you know what? You don't know how to preach. I was preaching one time. I knew I heard from God. Boy, and after service, man came up and he said, you preach blasphemy. Because I said, the devil's not my biggest problem, I am. The devil can't make me sin. And nobody else can make me serve the Lord. I can be my worst enemy, but I can be my best friend. Come on, you understand where I'm coming from this morning? Don't you know the devil's going to stick up his head? Wouldn't it be good if he didn't? Satan will do his best to keep you from believing God's word. He'll do his best to keep you from possessing the promise of God. In Joshua 14, Caleb told the story again in verses 6 through 9, we read a few moments ago. He talked about the spies, and he talked about returning and how they returned in fear and caused the people to be afraid. Their fear kept them out of the promises of God. And they kept them from walking in the will of God. Am I making sense this morning at all? So number three, Caleb spoke the truth with faith. He spoke the truth with faith. Joshua 14 and verse 7, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought back him back a report according to my convictions. Now listen. He said, I brought back word according to my conviction. So sad that today, so many people seem to have no convictions about anything. And sometimes in the church. All people want to hear is about love. They don't want to hear about the commitment that it takes to serve the Lord. Some people don't come to church regularly because they're convicted, because they're not serving God. And when the word comes forth, they feel more convicted. How do you deal with that? You repent. You confess. You get things right with God. And you grow. Conviction. We need convictions in our lives that are based on the word of God. You've got to get the word for yourself. Parents and grandparents can help plant it in you, but you've got to get hold of it for yourself. Nobody else can do that for you. Numbers 14 says it's a good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, God will bless us and take us into the land and give it to us. God's already said it. Why do we, when God said it, why do we question? I know God said, with his stripes I'm healed. But I just, sometimes we can have faith for others easier than we can have faith for ourselves. Shouldn't be that way. Amen? God said it. It's ours. We can do this. That's really what Joshua was saying. Read it with me. God said it. It's ours. We can do this. Caleb spoke the truth in faith. He said, God said this, so let's do it. Not everybody hears from God, and not everybody is willing to follow the Lord or the leader he sets up. Come on. We need to speak the truth, and we need to have some convictions about our Christian walk and our Christian life and not compromise. Dear Lord, how'd I get off on that? Let's go on to the next one. Numbers 13, I believe it is. Numbers 13 and 30. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, this is when they were supposed to go in and possess the land. We should go up and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it. We stepped out in faith to build this building, to build that foyer, and to build this building. We had no money. You remember, people? We had no money to do this. But we believe God put it in our heart. I had two services on Sunday mornings for a while in the old building. We move over here. Why did this happen? Because God put it in our heart. And He let us fill the carpet Fill the pew. Look around you. This is not something God put together. Man put together. This is something God made happen because you and I stepped out, believed God, we knew He spoke, and we said we can do this because God is with us. Amen. Come on, shout me down today. He said we could do this. And He has His hand on it now. Caleb admitted there were giants in the land. He confessed about this. He confessed that the people and cities were strong and they were fortified. He spoke the truth mixed with faith. He did not deny the problems. Did you hear me? He did not deny the problems or the obstacles that were in his way. But if I admit I have a problem, that's not faith. No, if you don't admit you have a problem, you're lying. I'd rather have faith than lie. It's not a lack of faith to admit you have a problem. God, this is what's happening in my life. I need your help. Sometimes we hide what we're going through when we need another brother or sister or someone to stand with us because we feel like if they know we have a problem, they'll think we don't have faith. It has nothing to do with that. I hope somebody's getting help today. He spoke the truth. Admit the problem. But speak the word of God over your situation and over your problem. What does the word of God say about what you're in, what's happening in your life? If you're practicing sin right now, what's he say? Confess. But I'll have to give it up. Yep, sure will. But it's too much fun. Sure is. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. We lie. I'm not going to lie to you, Sister Shirley Jones used to say, if you lie, you fry. So I don't want to fry. I want to tell you the truth. If we practice sin, it'll separate us from God. If we practice sin, we'll lose our relationship with Him. If we practice sin, brother and sister, the devil's having his way in our life. You can't have your foot in the world and one foot in the church and think you're going to go to heaven. And you can't have a relationship with Jesus when you're playing with the world and playing with God. Wow. In other words, I don't care what I see. God said. I don't care what I see. God said. Brother Bracken, have you ever been tested on that? Dear Lord, have mercy. So many times, I've never been able to count them. Number four, and I'm almost through, and I know today's a little longer than normal, but I believe I need to finish this word. Caleb spoke what he expected to receive. I hear so many people say, I'm trying to get a cold. Ooh, well, you go right ahead, because if you try, you'll get it. The cold's trying to get me, but in Jesus' name, it's not going to do it. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 14. Let's go back over there again, please, in verse 10. Thank you, Jesus. Now then, just as the Lord promised, He has kept me alive 45 years since the time He said to Moses while Israel moved in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old, and I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country or this mountain the Lord promised me this day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out. He gave God credit for keeping him alive. I give God credit for keeping me alive. I really do. Twice. Had no fear when I went into the surgery. My wife said she had no fear. God was with me. And he kept me alive. And he's still keeping me alive. Caleb said he was strong enough to go to battle. If you don't think you can face the devil and win, then get to the altar at your house or here and spend time with God till you have breakthrough and begin to stand on this word. I can do this. Not because of Leo Bracken. You know how many times before service I feel like I don't have what I just don't feel like I can do this, God. Spend hours in study, and God, how's anybody going to get anything from this? And then I come in, and the Spirit moves, and the anointing comes, and I leave in awe at the presence of God, at how He works and speaks and moves. Caleb said he was strong enough to go to battle. We're supposed to get stronger as a believer, not weaker. Don't blame the church. Don't blame anybody else. Don't even blame the devil. If you're weaker in faith now than you used to be. The devil didn't make you do it. You chose to submit. I'm preaching to me. I'm going to be better next week. You wait and see. Caleb didn't waver in his faith. 45 years. There's things we wrote down on paper, and I dreamed right after I came here, and it's been almost 25 years. I've had opportunity to go somewhere else. I could have gone to other churches and pastored. But I knew God hadn't spoken to me to leave. And what we believed a long time ago, though we've not seen what God put in our spirit. Listen to me, church. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Punch the person beside you if they're going to sleep. They need to hear this. What God said He would do, the promises He gave, the vision He instilled in our hearts will come to pass little by little, day by day, until it happens. So you that have been here all along the journey, be encouraged. I'm going to use improper English. It ain't over yet. It's not about the fat lady either. It's about God's will. He said, give me this mountain that God promised me. He was willing to accept the challenge. Some of us, if we're not careful, we get slack and won't step up to the challenge anymore of doing what God wants us to do. He accepted the challenge. He even asked for the challenge. Give it to me. And it wasn't pride in himself. It was confidence in God. I'm almost at a close. If you'll just hang in there. Caleb confessed with his mouth that the Lord would help him. Now notice the last nine words in verse 12. I will drive them out just as he said. He said it. You don't have a higher authority than that. Numbers 14:24. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit second time around here and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Caleb said, I will, because God said. Can you say it with me? I will, because God said, the time is now. Oh, the time is now. What are you going to say this morning? What are you going to say to the situation you're facing? What about the problem in your home, the problem with your children? What about the health issue? What about the struggle with temptation that you seem to be losing? What are you going to say? Don't be afraid to admit that you have a problem. With God's help, you can speak to it and overcome it. It's time to win. The time is now. Don't make me get real, real Pentecostal here. Dear God, I think I already am. Let's go to Mark 11. Oh, Jesus. Dear God. Mark 11. 22. Have faith in God. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Is that powerful or not? Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, let's just add this in here, it's not on the screen. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, you need to forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. Can't let forgiveness be in there when we're asking God for His help. Now listen, you can't go around praying and confessing just anything. True? Just because you confess it don't mean it's going to happen. You have to be in relationship with Jesus. You have to know Him. Allow the Holy Spirit to be working in your life. And when you face circumstances, Holy Spirit will help you know what to ask for. And when you pray and when you ask God, when you confess with your mouth, it needs to be lined up with this. I've never wanted a pink Cadillac, have you? Some of you ladies might want one, but I don't want a pink one. I'll take a blue one. Or you see what I'm saying today? God's Word will teach us how to pray and how to confess things that line up with Him. What does God want for you? You have to discover that. You have to discover it. I do my best to preach the Word. I can't make you follow God. I can't make you get hold of this. You have to decide to do this. Nobody can do it for you. Now, I promise I'm that close to the end. There is a key to possessing the promises of God and experiencing God's will in your life. Let's go back one more time, please, to 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes, because you're assemblies of God. No, they are yes, what? In Christ. And so through Him, the Amen, the Bible calls Jesus the Amen in Revelation. The Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. The promises of God are yes in Jesus. You have to be in Jesus and He has to be in you. Come on. So I want to say as I'm on my last page. It's time to win. The time is now. 2 Corinthians 6:2. And this is it. 2 Corinthians 6:2. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. How many of you know God hears when you pray in faith? And in the day of salvation have I secured thee, I've taken care of you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Salvation includes everything that pertains to your life. It's not just praying a prayer and asking Christ in your heart. Your life changes. Come on. Your life changes. Salvation includes body, soul, and spirit. Salvation includes healing as well as knowing Jesus. It's time. The Lord is ready. God's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. It's time to put your faith to work. It's time to climb the mountain of faith. Why do you call it a mountain? Because you grow. You have to press your way through like the woman with the issue of blood. She had the faith, but she had to press her way through until she got there. And I believe faith is like a mountain. We grow and we learn and we grow and we learn from glory to glory. And we grow and we learn and we grow in our faith. And the stronger we get, the more the devil trembles, but he never gives up, and neither should we. Stand to your feet. It's time to put your faith to work. It's time to climb the mountain of faith. You can rise and conquer every obstacle. Wake up the people beside you if they've gone to sleep. I'm sorry if it's too hot or if I was too quiet. You can rise and conquer every obstacle. No matter what it is. Climbing the mountain of faith means you never quit believing. If you quit believing, you've dug up all those prayers that you've prayed. You say it's never going to happen, and you've prayed for a long time that it would. When you say that, you're digging up the seeds of faith that you've planted. Amen. Don't change your confession if you've already believed God and are believing God. It's time to climb the mountain of faith. You can rise and conquer. Amen. Climbing the mountain of faith means you never quit believing. Speak the truth in faith. A lot of times I've walked the floor and prayed and read the scripture and claimed the scripture when nothing around me seemed to be happening that was in line with the Word of God. Can you relate to that? God, I've prayed. What's wrong? I wonder how many times Caleb wondered what was wrong. God, you said, and here I am, 80 years old. God, I'm 82. Hey. God, I'm 85. God, I have a problem. As long as I've been a Christian, I almost feel bad when I go to God and say, God, I have a problem. He's getting the best of me. But he wants us to be honest and say, God, I need your help. God, I have a problem, but I know you can help me. Speak what you expect God to do based on this. Right? What mountain needs to come down? What mountain do you need to go through? What promise has been like a mountain to you that you just can't possess or get a hold of? All I know is that God is faithful. Please don't go by feeling if you're walking with Christ in emotion. If you're here today and sin's in your life, you've been practicing sin, and you're battling with some emotions right now because you feel so ashamed and so guilty, that's when our emotions should really dictate to us that it's time to talk to God. It's time to talk to God. It's time to be real. It's time to confess. Because I know God cares. And I know He loves me. Father, I praise you today for your faithfulness. I thank you that you're my God. And there's nobody like you. The Bible teaches us, and we believe you're the beginning and the end. And Lord, you're also the author and the finisher of our faith. The same faith it took to say, I'm sorry, forgive me, come into my life, is the same faith it's going to take to serve you and to walk with you. And Lord, as we do that, that faith grows. God, I don't know all the hearts today. I just know there's people here with problems. I know there's some that feel like it's too much to bear. And I know there's some that are doing ministry that are tired. And wondering, Lord, when you're going to send help, or God, when are you going to change this or that? But what you have to know is that you're doing it for Him. And just be faithful. And bring those things to God. I don't know when. I don't know who. I don't know how. I just know that God is going to come through. Put your trust in Him today. Bring that problem to Him. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Don't let it become a burden. Believe God to free you from that thing. And if there's sin in your life, the best place to take it is to the altar to Him. And if God's spoken a promise in your heart concerning your church, your ministry, or anything in your life, and you know you've heard from God somewhere along the way, don't forget that, and you believe Him and thank Him for it until you see it. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on loved ones you've been praying for. Don't say it will never happen. Don't dig up the seeds that you've planted in prayer for them. That seed may be right at the point to produce fruit and bring a harvest of that loved one coming into the kingdom of God. Don't be weary. Don't give up. Stay true. Serve Him wholeheartedly. Don't let the attitude of the world get inside of you. Let Jesus stay inside of you, and you stay in Him. Hallelujah. While you're praying today, if you're here today and you have a problem you want to bring to the Lord, I'm going to ask you to bring it right now. A problem, just bring it to Him. And by bringing it, you're saying, God, I'm releasing it at this altar, and I know, God, You're walking me through, and I'm going to this thing. Admit you've got a problem. Come and believe God. Will you move right now? In Jesus' name. It's 12:27. A little longer than normal, but we still have time for you. Anybody today? I know God did a lot last week. We still have time for you. Hallelujah. Gonna wait just a moment. Isn't the Lord good? Lift your hand toward heaven with me real quiet. Work with me, please. God, I know You're speaking today. And I know there's not people coming to this altar, but I know You're speaking in different seats, in different places in this sanctuary. God, I know there's some here right now, right with You. I know You're dealing with his heart. You're dealing with her heart. And You're saying the time is now. Talking to you. Listen, this congregation is willing to wait. We're going to let God just speak to you for a few minutes, a few seconds here. God, have Your way. Thank You because, God, I know You're speaking, You're taking, and You're drawing. Yes, Lord. Please, everybody's eyes closed. If you're here today, you say, Brother Bracken, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I'm not following Him right now. Or I've gotten away from Him, and I'm ready to come back to Jesus today. Will you please pray for me when you pray? Will you just put your hand up real quickly and right back down? Please pray for me. Yes. Anybody else? Come on, God's talking. Yes. Anyone else? Please pray for me when you pray. I'm going to wait another second or two because there's one or two more. I know I can see God speaking to you right now. I'm not going to embarrass you. All right. Church, pray with me. Let's help these that have raised their hand. Say it with me, church. Lord Jesus, thank You that You died for me, for all of my sins, but You didn't stay in the grave. You rose again on the third day. And today You live, and You live for me. And I thank You that right now, by my putting my faith in You, every sin is forgiven. Because I say to You, God, I am sorry. Forgive me. Wash me. Make me clean. Come into my heart and change my life. I give You praise now because I know You hear me. And I know it's happened at this very second. Thank You, Jesus, for saving me and writing my name in heaven. I praise You in Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a praise, would you, today?